ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकय चक्षुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोऽभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोऽस्युतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सार्वजातं सगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साधवैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादा सगण ललिता श्रीविशाखावितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय श्री प्रभुपाद जय श्री प्रभुपाद सो नाउ वी ऑफर अ प्रेयर्स टू चैतन्य महाप्रभु नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम पदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौर कृषे नमः आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस अंडर द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य हु इज मोर मैग्नानिमस देन एनी अदर अवतार इवन कृष्ण हिमसेल्फ बिकॉज ही इज बिस्टोइंग फ्रीली दैट नो वन एल्स हैज एवर गिवन कृष्ण प्रेम कृष्ण वर्णं त्रिशा कृष्णं सांग पांगो अस्त्र पार्षदं यज्ञहि संकीर्तन प्रायेर यजन्ति सुमेधसः इन द एज ऑफ कली इंटेलिजेंट पर्सन्स परफॉर्म कांग्रीगेशन चैंटिंग टू वर्शिप द इनकार्नेशन ऑफ गॉडहेड हु कॉन्स्टेंटली सिंग्स द नेम्स ऑफ कृष्णा ऑल्दो हिज कॉम्प्लेक्शन इज नॉट ब्लैकिश ही इज कृष्णा हिमसेल्फ ही इज अकॉम्पनीड बाय हिज एसोसिएट्स सर्वेंट्स वेपन्स and confidential companions. Now offering prayers to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Nana sastra vicharnaika nipunau shadadharma samsthapakau loka naam hitakarinau tribhuvane manyau sharanyakarau radha krishna padaravind भजना आनंदेन मत्तालिकौ वंदे रूप सनातन रघुयुगौ श्री जीव गोपालकौ ट्रांसलेशन आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस अंडर द सिक्स गोस्वामीज नेमली श्री सनातन गोस्वामी श्री रूप गोस्वामी श्री रघुनाथ भट्ट गोस्वामी Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jeeva Goswami, and Shri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Shri Shirada and Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Narom Chaiva Narottamam देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयत् नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो हरे राम राम रामो हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय श्री प्रभुपाद, जय श्री प्रभुपाद, गोविंद पाद पुरुषोत्तमं भजामि। हरे कृष्ण एवरीवन, प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय हंबल ओबेसेंसेस। ऑल कृष्ण श्री प्रभुपाद, वेलकम बैक। सो दिस इज द फाइनल कंक्लूडिंग क्लास ऑफ श्री परमात्मा संदर्भ, द थर्ड वन in the six sandarbhas. After that, we will take a 2 weeks break, and then we will start with the fifth one. The fourth one, unfortunately, that Krishna sandarbha, the book is not yet available. So I'll be starting with the fifth one, Bhakti sandarbha, after 2 weeks break. That is 6th May Washington time, 7th May for the Asian countries. So with that, we'll start the concluding class for Shri Paramatma Sandarbha. So I already conducted the second review, that is the of the Paramatma Sandarbha, and that is about the ontology of Krishna's Bahiranga Shakti Maya. So now this is the fourth theme, lessons 22 to 23, 24. Let me look at the PowerPoints. So as you can see in this slide, lessons 22, 23 and 24, less text 105 to 110, 105 to 110, and this is the fourth theme of Shri Paramatma Sandarbha, the fourth and the final theme. Here Srila Jiva Goswami demonstrates the determination of Bhagavan as the final subject of Srimad Bhagavatam. The ultimate of Srimad Bhagavatam is all about Sri Bhagavan, Bhagavan Sri Lord Sri Krishna. So today we will doing, if Krishna permitting, lessons 22 and 23, and of course let 24 also. So first, lessons 22, 23, text 105 to 106. So what Srila Jiva Goswami does here, in order to demonstrate that Bhagavan is the ultimate subject of Srimad Bhagavatam, so he established six criteria, that is the to demonstrate that meaning of any text, that if you want to do that, this is what usually is done. And we will see what are the six criteria. So the first of the six criteria that we will devote in this lessons 22 and 23, and the remaining criteria 2 to 6, that would be in lesson 24, Krishna permitting. And that will be text 107 to 110, the final text. So in the first criteria, what is really is about the concurrence or agreement between the opening statement and the closing statement. The very first opening verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 1, chapter 1, text 1, Janmadhyas Seta, Itanascha, Abhignaswa, that verse. So that opening statement is correlated to, in fact, that is in Garuda Purana, it says that that itself, Srimad Bhagavatam, is the natural commentary of Brahma Sutra, also mentioned as Vedanta Sutra, you know. So, and of course, the Gayatri Mantra, excuse me, and the 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam that Sukadeva Goswami lists in the second canto, verses chapter 1, in that. So we will see those 10 subject matters. So the first concluding verse, this Janmadhyasya, that beginning with that, and the final verse that is given in the 12th canto, that correlates. In fact, the final verse actually determines the meaning of the first verse that we will see, you know. And then lesson 24 is about criteria 2 through 6 that Bhagavan is repeated throughout Bhagavatam. Anything that which has a direct important emphasis is obviously being repeated. So here, the ultimate subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the ultimate ashraya, the ultimate shelter of every living beings, that is Sri Krishna Bhagavan. So that is repeated throughout Bhagavatam, every verse actually, you know. So we will see. Repetitions, novelty, result, qualification, and logic. So first we'll see the first criteria that Srila Jiva Goswami describes in great detail actually. So here are the six criteria by which one can establish the meaning of a text. And these are the first one, as I already mentioned, the opening statement and the closing statement must correlate. And that's where the prominence of Bhagavan is emphasized, demonstrated. Then of course, criteria 2, 3, 6 is repetition or abhyasa, originality, apurvata, result, follow, and the fifth one, glorification, arthavada, and the last, the sixth one, is the logical confirmation, utpatti, upapatti. Alright? So here is text 22-23, so lessons 22-23, and the text 105 to 106. In fact, text 105, in fact, there are sub-parts 1 through 11, you know. So that's all this thing is demonstrate that the concurrent statement, opening and closing statements of Bhagavad Purana, which is the natural commentary of Brahma Sutra or Vedanta Sutra and Gayatri Mantra, and of course the 10 subject matters. So this is according to Garuda Purana. So that's what you see here in the first subpart of text 105. That's what Jiva Goswami is going to describe that. So the opening statement is correlated, Brahma Sutra, and there are, he's talking about, now what is meaning of Sutra? Sutra is in fact, is composed of just two or three or four words actually. But that has a so deep meaning, it gives the meaning of lots of material in the Vedas, you know. So that is what Brahma Sutra does actually. So in fact the very first one, Athato Brahma Jigyasa, onwards actually. So here Jiva Goswami correlates this Brahma Sutra verses 1 through 5 in text, this 104, 105.9 and so on. And then Gayatri Mantra in the 10th subpart of text 105, the 10th subject, the banner of Bhagavatam, the 10 topics, there's the final subtext. So we'll go through that actually. So both the opening and closing statement contain the same formula, and that's how you correlate. That is Satyam Param Dhimahi. Param Satyam is the absolute truth, the supreme, supreme transcendence, that is Bhagavan, and we meditate on him. So in fact the meditate word, according to Sanskrit grammar, Dhimahi, Dhi means actually intelligence. We concentrate. In fact, as we talked about in the previous class, what is Jignasaya, inquiry, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Jignasa, actually, it means inquiry in English. However, inquiry is could be passive inquiry also. Here it means intense inquiry, really. And how do you define intense inquiry? And that's what you know, what we discuss in previous classes. There is Maya Maya Ahankar Atma Bandhanam. So these, we have this tight knot between matter and spirit that cannot be pierced by our own effort, and that is because of this Maya, Krishna's internal potency, Maya Mayi and Guna Ahankar. Because of three modes of material nature that causes this ahankar, or the bodily conception of life, which is the undesirable I consciousness we discussed at length actually. So that is the one which is causing us this Atma Bandhanam. In fact, this we are trapped in this material existence. So how do you cut through this tight knot? And that is what we discussed earlier. That is due to, that is, you cut that note through the sword, chitva, chitva achutam, achutam means infallible, and here it's infallible means the super soul, achutam, chitva achutam, atma anubhava avatishtate. So atma anubhava means you, we need to realize, that is what jignasa means actually. Deep realization of the super soul within ourselves, avatishtate, that's a realization. And that is how we become free, the ultimate liberation, atyantikam, that's where we obtain. So that is the kind of jignasya we are talking about, the very intense inquiry. So that is actually indicated this very first opening statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. By the Satyam Param Dhimahi. Dhimahi, this very, very deep meditation, that's exactly what it means, you know. So that's what is given here. This, so here it says, according to Sanskrit grammar, the Dhimahi is expressed here as a plural. That means not one person or one group that Srila Vyasadeva is saying, but all of us together meditate on the supreme truth. The absolute truth, and that is Bhagavan, Shri Lord Shri Krishna. In Krishna Sandarbha actually mentions that, you know. And not, here it's very clearly mentioned that we will see here in much greater detail that it is not meant by Brahman, Brahma or Paramatma. Brahma, as we know, that's the, that's the impersonal Brahman effulgence, impersonal, and Brahman does not have attributes. So clearly that is not meant here, because when we say Dhimahi, meditate, it means that we must be meditating somebody who is a person. So Bhagavan is a person. So clearly that rules out Brahman. That is impersonal. And Paramatma also ruled out, because Paramatma is just a part of Bhagavan. The famous Tattva Vedanti verse, you know. So Bhagavan is the ultimate, absolute. And that is what Srila Vyasadeva said, let us meditate on him, you know. So, and that verse concurs, correlates, and its meaning is further revealed in the final verse, that is the chapter. So that is what the first criteria Srila Jiva Goswami is talking about. So let's make sure we understand what is the verse he is talking about. The first verse is this, Janmadi asya yato anvayat itaratascha artheshva abhigna swarat. You know, tene brahmaradaya adikavaye muhyati yat surayaha tejo vari bridam yatha vinimayo tejo vari bridam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo amrusha yatra trisargo amrusha dhamana svena sada nirasta kukam dhamana svena sada nirasta kukam satyam param dhimahi. So janmadi is a janma adi etc. So janma etc. Janma means here the creation, sustenance or maintenance and dissolution. Everything is included here. Yato anvayat itratascha artheshu abhigna swarat. So there is here, there is what directly or indirectly, affirmatively or not so affirmatively. And abhigna is a supremely cognizant that Bhagavan. And he is swarat, he is the supremely independent. No one, everyone else is dependent on him, he is totally independent. Tene brahmarada adi kavaye. So he disclosed this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam in these four seed verses, Chatushloki Bhagavatam, directly in the heart of this adi kavaye. Adi kavaye means the original learned personality, and then Sri Lord Brahma, the first living being created by the Lord. And this Krishna's external body, even this, disillusions, even the demigods and great sages, muhyanti yat suraya. So there is, so in the second half of this verse, Srila Vyasadeva talks about this Maya, the Krishna's Bahiranga Shakti that we discuss at great length. Srila Jiva Goswami talks about entire, you know, Paramatma Sandarbha is all about that, you know. Tejo vari bridam yatha, so everyone is get in a disillusion by that. Yatha vinimayo, vinimayo actually means like a give and take, like in business, trading. But here it means about this, by the three modes of material nature. Yatra tri sargo amrusha, tri sarga, three kinds of creation, you know. And amrusha, that is this here it's mentioned that about the three worlds of that. Dhamna svenas, by itself, it's dhamma. We all know we are like dhamma means abode, home. But here dhamma actually means this great effulgence, illuminance, and that is Lord Shri Bhagavan, you know. Who swayna by itself, that sada always nirastha, dispels, removes the influence of this Mahamaya. Nirastha kuhukam, that dissolutionary potency of Bhagavan. And that is done by satyam param dhimahi. When we deeply meditate and realize Bhagavan realization, the ultimate realization, then Lord Himself, Dhamna, that supremely illuminance by Himself, Svena by Himself, Sada, always, then dispels the influence of Maya. So that tight note Atma Bandhanam that we have talked, and that we talked about, that is deep realization, the super soul, Achyutam Atma Anubhava Avatishtate. That here actually means in this direct realization, you know. So let's read the actual translation, that's by Srila Prabhupada. Let us meditate on that supreme truth, Satyam, from whom this cosmos emanates, and there is not only creation but maintenance as well as dissolution, all three included, in whom they exist and into whom it will be dissolved, who is concluded to be the fundamental source through the import of all the various types of Vedic statements, you know. So that we will see actually in Brahma Sutra also mentioned that. Directly or indirectly, either by affirmatively or not affirmatively, either way, you know. Anytime when you make a statement, it's a two way you can make a statement. In a positive way, in the negative, and negative also, but actually saying the same thing. So in both ways, this such a statements you will find in Vedic. Who is fully cognizant, supremely cognizant. What is meant by cognizant? Cognizant means supremely aware of that, you know. Because he is a supremely conscious being of everything, and self-replenitent. That means he is the supremely independent personality, you know. And who revealed to Lord Brahma directly. I'll have something more deeper to say about what Shiva Jiva Goswami talks about when we say revealing in the heart, what exactly it means actually. Actually, we Tattva Sandarbha, we saw Shabda Pramana. Shabda Pramana is the Vedic sound vibration, you know. It's the ultimate truth. So actually Vedic knowledge is the ultimate proof when you want to understand a particular subject matter. So that is actually generally Shabda means this Vedic sound vibration, right? But here it is said Ashabda. Ashabda means it is not in a worldly sense, it is not spoken. So it was this Chatushloki Bhagavatam verse, those verses was not spoken to Lord Brahma directly. Rather, it was revealed to him. Within his heart. So, Ashabda, that's means actually. So, means it's not speech in the material sense, but in the trans-phenomenal sense, that means spiritual sense, it was actually spoken to Lord Brahma through his heart. Many times when we read the book without uttering, just within our mind when we read, actually we speak within our mentally, we speak when we read, we actually read while pronouncing it, you know. So that is what actually means actually. So there is Ashabda means in that, you know. So it was revealed, that Vedic knowledge, Chatushloki Bhagavatam, was revealed tena brahma brahma adikavaye, in Lord Brahma's heart directly it was revealed, you know. And he was the first seer, the first living entity, you know, by way of the heart, in whom the threefold creation is a real emergence. Unlike what the Vivartavada or Mayavadi says, that this Jagan Mithya, it is just an illusion. No, it is real, you know. So that is what he's saying here. So that was real creation, threefold creation, creation, maintenance, and dissolution, all included in that. And that is the real emergence, just as fire, water, and earth. So it's the analogy is drawn here. Just like fire, water, and earth, when they are intermixed with each other, and then that produces these material objects. And that is called Trisargo Amrisha, you know. And by whose effulgence all, so that is that theme is mentioned, that you know, by his own emergence all deception is, so deception is caused by Mahamaya, as we saw earlier, remember, Mahamaya as two divisions. One is this Nimitta, Karana, and then the other one is Upadana. Nimitta means the instrumental cause, you know, instrumental cause. Nimitta, very word Nimitta. And that self has further two subdivision, Vidya potency and Avidya potency. And Avidya potency is further subdivided that we saw as this Avarana, etc. So Avarana means what it does, it covers our true knowledge of whose we are. We are spiritual beings, not this material body. And we are the servant of the Lord, servant of Bhagavan. So that true knowledge is covered by this Avarana potency. And then Vikshepa, and then replaces true knowledge with illusory knowledge, Ajnana, you know. So there is, so there's two way it completely disillusions. So that disillusion, which seems like it's so strong, you know, that is also completely disturbed by the Satyam Param Dhimahi. So that's the entire Bhagavatam is condensed this very first verse, entire Bhagavatam, you know, and that talks about in detail about who Bhagavan really is and what do we achieve by that. Directly we become free from Maya's material existence, Maya causing material existence, and then we directly realize Supreme Being, you know. So how is that further explained and correlated? And that is the concluding statement, Bhagavatam, the 12th canto, Sukadeva Goswami reveals to Parishit Maharaj. Kasmai yena vibhasit, vasto means reveals. Kasmai yena vibhasito, ayam atulo. This ayam is this. Atulo means incomparable. Jnana pradipa pura. Jnana pradipa, the great illumination of this knowledge, you know, illumination of knowledge. Pura, that is the ancient knowledge. Tad rupena cha narnasya munaye krishnaya tad rupina. See this, tad rupena, tad rupina, that has special meaning, as we will see when, you know, Jiva Goswami explains in great detail who really does it represent, you know. Tad rupena cha narnasya munaye, Narada Muni, it was revealed to him, krishnaya tad rupina, you know, yogindraya, Yogindraya tad atma tad atman atha. Yogindraya tad atman atha. Bhagavadrataya. Bhagavadrata means, is it, that is Parishit Maharaj, you know. Bhagavadrataya karuniyastas, you know. Tad shuddham vimalam vishokam. Tad shuddham vimalam vishokam. Amritam vishokam amritam. Satyam Param Dhimahi. So you see that Satyam Param Dhimahi is again repeated in the final concluding verse, and that itself correlates with the very first verse. So let's read the translation. Let us meditate on the Supreme Truth. So you see, it's very much similar exactly in the concluding statement also. And that is what this first criteria means actually. When something is very important, when you write or speak, your introductory sentence also must come same thing, and you end your book or your speech also with that similar statement, that really then it registers in the minds of your audience, emphasizes that. That's what exactly Srila Vyasadeva does that actually, you know. So let us meditate on the Supreme Truth, Satyam Param Dhimahi, who is pure, spotless, shuddham vimalam, you know, and devoid of sorrow, vishokam, means as we saw in last class, when we were talking about the impartiality of the Supreme Lord, and sometimes many of us, even devotees, obviously neophyte devotees, we are, sometimes when we are in great difficulty, and then we pray to the Lord, Lord, please just try to realize you are supposed to be the ocean of mercy, you know. Can't you see that I am suffering here, intense suffering, you know. But then we saw that Lord is not really influenced by our suffering that way. How does he know that? So it's not the suffering, but the suffering, the difference between non-devotees and devotees. Devotees know, unlike the non-devotees, the suffering is due to my karmas, and I cannot resolve that only by the Lord's mercy. And how does Lord's mercy show that? By directly calling, with intense calling, you know, Prabhupada gives the analogy, intense calling means like a baby, you know, crying of hunger, with intense crying, and that is what really attracts mother's attention, and then she breastfeeds him, you know. So we should call the Lord exactly with that intensity, you know, jignasaya, you know. So when we do that, then Lord is not attracted. Lord does not, compassion does not come through seeing our suffering, but the suffering causing the devotee to call the Lord, just like Gajendra, when he was almost about to die, about to be devoured by this crocodile in the deep lake. At that time, he calls the Lord. The Lord, you are my ultimate shelter. Only you can protect me. Only you can save my life. Otherwise, I'm going to be banished. And that what really attracted. That holy really summoned the Lord. Directly came and he saves him. That. So we are talking about that kind of that compassion. Lord is not attracted by our suffering. But suffering caused by the devotional service, the intense calling, the satyam param dhimayi, that really attracts the Lord's mercy that we saw in the previous class. You know? So that is what is referred to here, this concluding verse. There he says that let us meditate on the supreme truth, satyam param dhimayi, who is pure, spotless, devoid of sorrow. So the devoid of sorrow, that's what I just explained to you, you know. And immortal, who in the distant past graciously revealed this peerless lamp of knowledge, Dana Deepa, you know. Dana Pradeepa, when you add pra means intense, intensity is that. Intensely illuminating knowledge, you know. That is revealed. Vimasito, that is revealed. And that knowledge was revealed to Lord Brahma, you know, the first living being. Directly in his heart, and then in the form of Brahma disclosed. So it was first revealed to Lord Brahma, so now we see the disciplic succession, and then Brahma in turn revealed that knowledge to Narad Muni, that the Rupena Cha Naradasya, okay, and Narad in turn revealed. So it was Chatushtayu Bhagavatam to Brahma, and same Chatushtayu Bhagavatam was revealed to Narad Muni. And Narad Muni actually, helps Vyasadeva to realize the deep meaning of this Chatushri Bhagavatam by telling him to go in the Samadhi, and Lord himself will reveal to you in your heart, in your mind. So that is what Srila Vyasadeva is mentioned there. Krishnaya, that is Krishna Dvaipayana Dvaipayana Vyasadeva. So, because he is also called sometimes Krishna. But actually, because Krishna, the meaning is dark complexion. So Lord Vyasadeva, Srila Vyasadeva was like that. So that is Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, that is mentioned as Krishnaya. Tad Rupina, you know. See that Tad Rupina is used for Narad Muni. Tad Rupina means it is Vyasadeva. Now Vyasadeva himself, Indraya Tad Atma Atha. Atma Atha. Atmanam Atha. So that then Yogindra, the supreme yogi, the topmost yogi that is mentioned here is the Sukadeva Goswami. So Srila Vyasadeva then taught that Srimad Bhagavatam in his Vista, in this great annals. The four verses are expanded further, and that will reveal to Yogindra that Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami finally reveals to Bhagavat Rataya. Bhagavat Rataya is Parikshit Maharaj, who was even before birth even when he was in the womb of his mother, Mother Uttara, when Krishna directly saves his life from the Brahmastra thrown by Ashwatthama. So that time, this Parikshit Maharaj, while he was still in the womb of his mother, he saw that personality in the womb itself. So he directly, he was completely fixed on the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. So that's called Bhagavad Rataya, who is completely fixed in Krishna. Karunya is by compassion. So that is what is mentioned, discipline, succession, how Bhagavatam was transmitted. And through, of course, then later, Sutta Goswami describes to the sages of Naimisharanya, and then onwards, in discipline succession goes on unbroken succession, and then we get to listen the same knowledge that Krishna himself revealed to Brahma. Tat Shuddham Vimalam Vishokam Amritam Satyam Param Dhimai. So that lamp of knowledge was revealed to Brahma, and then in the form of Brahma disclosed to Narad Muni, and as Narad Muni to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasadeva, and again as Vyasa to chief of the yogis Sukadeva Goswami, and then as Sukadeva Goswami revealed to Bhagavad Rata, that is Parikshit Maharaj. So you see, both verses, beginning statement in between the 12 cantos expanded. Remember, so many verses, 18,000 verses actually. So in both statements, borderline, and actually first explained in great detail by this final statement. So that is the first area. Actually, I was supposed to just show you the verse and then we are going to discuss the meaning. But I have already summarized a lot of things, so it will become easier for you to now understand as we go through that. So in the second subtext of this text 105, there is what now he is going to describe how Bhagavatam is the natural commentary of Brahma Sutra, or also called Vedanta Sutra. And in fact, remember, both Bhagavatam, also written by Srila Vyasadeva, and Brahma Sutra, also written by Vyasadeva. So who could be the ultimate authority? That is Srila Vyasa. So this Bhagavad Brahma Sutra commentaries by Sankaracharya and all others, they twist the ultimate meaning of that. Actually, what we should accept, the one who actually wrote Brahma Sutra, and he himself also written Bhagavatam. So this is through Bhagavatam he actually describes that. So first verse, Athato Brahma Jigyasa, how that itself is right there within Bhagavatam, this very first opening statement that Jiva Goswami is pointing out to us, and that is this Brahma Jigyasa, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Actually, Athato is a composite of two words. So when you break that sandhi, so Atha means now, Atha, therefore, now, therefore. And that also has a deep meaning that Srila Jiva Goswami goes into that. But actually, this Brahma Jigyasa, the great intense inquiry of Brahma. Brahma means the Bhagavan, not Brahma, not Paramatma, but Bhagavan, the ultimate, complete realization of the Absolute Truth. So that we need to meditate on that. Satyam Param Dhimai. So he says Satyam Param Dhimai in Bhagavatam is correlated with this Brahma Sutra, Brahma Jigyasa. So a profound, repeated meditation, see that? It's not the passive inquiry we are talking about, intense inquiry, on the Absolute Truth, which is the Supreme Person, Swayam Bhagavan. So we are not talking about even expansions. What to speak about Brahman, Paramatma, not even any other incarnation also. We are talking about Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead, Vrindavan Krishna, who's holding this flute, So that Krishna we are talking about, as the goal of life. So that ought to be the goal of our life. Not a sense of plurality. So that's what we, as I already mentioned, Dhimahi, Srila Jiva Goswami translate as not singular, but plural. That means this meditation, what it implies, is multitude of meditators, and thus refutes Vibhartavada philosophy. So it signifies that meditation, that when Jiva Goswami is talking about, let us all meditate, what it means is not limited to any single personality or even a group, but it's universal, everyone, and free of the time also, past, present, future. So we are talking about just continuous, you know. So it's relevant to all times, places, and individual circumstances everywhere. So just you can imagine how intensely Sri Jiva Goswami is talking about, you know. And furthermore, we are going to see that in the Bhagavad Gita. See, now you can understand how Vaishnavas love Bhagavatam. There's no other scriptures come even close to that Bhagavatam. No. And the deep meaning of Bhagavatam is revealed in the same way. Imagine how much I'm so excited, how much deep inquisitiveness that Lord has created in my heart, you know. It's incredible, you know. So that's why Jiva Goswami, what he establishes. So a lot of material is condensed in there, and because of the interest of the time, I'm condensing. So here it is, the summary points, you know, that Jiva Goswami establishes thus far. The ultimate meaning of the word Brahman, that is Bhagavan, you know. And I just already explained to you, Brahman is in personal effulgence, right? So we are talking about not impersonal, but the person. So Bhagavan is a supreme person. So clearly it's not Brahman, and that is devoid of the attributes. But Brahman is full of attributes, you know. So that's not, and Paramatma is also not there. Paramatma is an expansion. Here we are talking about Brahman as the original personality of Godhead. Swayam Bhagavan, Vrindavan Krishna, we are talking about. So Bhagavan is inclusive of and superior to Brahman and Paramatma. Jiva Goswami goes at great length to emphasize this point here. Yeah. So Bhagavan's here means the original complete form, the basis of all other forms. The fourth point, Bhagavan is superior to even demigods like Brahma. Lord Brahma and Shiva, as you see one of the verse, they actually offer prayers to Lord Shri Krishna, you know. So Brahma Jigyasa means meditation on Bhagavan. So that is what we are talking about. Inquiry, the intense inquiry, the deep meaning of it is actually the direct meditation on Bhagavan. Sityam Param Dhimayi. So meditation implies that Bhagavan has a form. You cannot meditate something impersonal, you know. Although this, you know, yoga centers tells you about meditate, and I did attend because of obligation to my sister-in-law, this 10-day shibir arranged by this, you know, this Buddhist, you know, and they were teaching us how to meditate, and they said that you meditate on your own physical body, actually, they are talking about horrible. So that not, we are not talking about direct meditation. We are talking about meditation on the personal, you know. And meditation signifies that Bhagavan's form is exquisitely beautiful. The plural in Dhimayi denies the Vivartavada of the Mayavadis that accepts only one conscious being, you know. So the plural in Dhimayi implies that bhakti is a universal process. Everyone has a right to perform bhakti. Any other process devoid of bhakti is futile. So these are the 10 points are emphasized very clearly in those verses. Okay. So the third subtext. Now here the meaning of Atharto Brahma Jigyasa, remember the first Brahma Sutra. So Brahma Jigyasa, that already we just saw that. Now the meaning of atha atha. Atha means atha atha. Atha means now, atha therefore. That's it. But here what does it actually mean? You know, and that's what Jiva Goswami is explaining. So here, now, therefore, but here
Actually, it means subsequent. Subsequent to what? You know, from and what? You know. So here, what he talks about that this Purva Mimamsa and Uttar Mimamsa. Actually, the word in Sanskrit Mimamsa also means inquiry. So Purva Mimamsa, what is the initial inquiry? So there, these Vedas, nearly 85% of the Vedic verses are talks about this Karma Kanda, you know. That is the when you have a tremendous material desires, you are in material conception of life, and you want to enjoy it hopefully infinitely, first to a fullest extent while our earthly existence, then even after this earthly existence is over, we want to go to heavenly planets, so there we can even enjoy much longer and with much more great intensity. And that is what this Karmakanda, this particularly Jaimini Rishi, who is the great proponent of this Karmakanda. That means we are meant to enjoy, you know. This material existence is entirely meant for us to enjoy materially. So that's why this Karmakanda is mentioned there. And then of course, that Karmakanda means a lot of these Vedic sacrifices, fire sacrifices, animal slaughtering and all this involved there, you know. And that's why Narad Muni actually warns this King Prachin Bharishan. He was in that kind of frame of mind, and then he saves him that, you know, from that sinful acts actually. So that is Purva Mimamsa. So when person is in that bodily conception of life, great with material enjoyment desires are there, so you fully satisfy that. After that, so then of course he makes further progress. Then he actually, while he is doing his Karmakanda principles, from Karmakanda he comes to Karma Yoga. Then he offers the results of his karma to the Supreme Lord actually. Before he was offering to the demigods, so that demigods will tell him, will bless him to go to heavenly planets for complete full enjoyment. But now he realizes that his heart becomes purified. And sees the futility of this material enjoyment. So then he realized, then he offers the results, what is his prescribed duties, called his Varna and Ashrama. Then he comes to Karma Yoga level, then of course Nishkam Karma Yoga and so on like that, yoga ladder. So then he becomes purified, and then what is Jiva Goswami is talking about here, actually Vyasadeva, then Atharata Brahma Jigasa, then you develop this desire to now inquire. You make a higher level of inquiry here. Before it was a lower level of jigyasa was there, you know, Purva Mimamsa, Karmakanda. Now you come to, after your heart has become purified, then you come to this Uttar Mimamsa. Now Uttar Mimamsa is precisely Brahma Sutra. That's what Brahma Sutra is talking about, you know, that now you come to this knowledge, inquire about Brahman. Brahman means the complete Bhagavan realization. So you talk about, inquire about Bhagavan. How can I get that? So that is Uttar Mimamsa. So that is actually the deep meaning of Atha, you know. Atha means now, therefore, having purified your heart, now you must inquire about Bhagavan. So that is what is explained here, you know. Okay, the fourth subtext. Now, I have to cover a lot of material. So I can better hurry up now. So now, the fourth subtext of text 105, further explanation, further definition, this Brahma Sutra 111, you know, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. So this is a secondary deep meaning about that. So here, Srila Vyasadeva depicts, you know, establishes Bhagavan's transcendence. That's the dhamana. Dhamana means great illuminance, the transcendence means beyond the three modes of material spiritually, by the word dhamana, by this great illuminance. The Sanskrit grammar, you must understand, dhamma, dhamana, by which, that means. So by dhamana, by, that means by the Bhagavan realization, And how do you become Bhagavan relation? By meditating on Him, Satyam Param Dhimahi. Then what happens? Svena Sada Nirastha Kuhakam. I already explained to you again. Dhamna Svena, by himself, by the very transcendence, by Bhagavan himself directly. Sada, always, he nullifies, dispels, removes. Nirastha, that's meaning Nirastha Kuhakam. Kuhakam is Maya's influence, his illusory potency. So let us meditate on that. By whose intrinsic potency? How does the Lord remove the influence of his external potency, Maya? By his external potency. Bhakti is the potency of his external potency. Bhakti comes from his internal potency. Sarupa Lakshana, you know? Sarupa Shakti. So that is the one Bhakti actually help us to become free from this this Maya, you know, Maya Guna Ahankar. Ahankar, that the false eye consciousness develops, and that is the one, the cause of our Atma Bandhanam, cause of our material bondage. There is what really, that before it was so by Achyuta Atma Anubhava Avatishtate, by Super Soul realization. But here actually what it means is not just Super Soul, it is actually Bhagavan realization. Then Bhagavan himself, Bhagavan's internal potency, and he grants us bhakti, and the bhakti help us to become free from this illusory potency. That's how we break this tight knot, you know, this much reverence, you know, that is what is pierced actually. Kuhakam, that is this Maya, is eternally dispelled. Once we become free, we never come into our influence again, because we go back to spiritual world. And Yatra Trisargo Amrusha, so Bhagavan's in whom the threefold creation is a real emergence. So this material world is actually the real manifestation, not just illusory manifestation. Three sarga, three kinds of creation, creation, sustenance and dissolution, you know, Amrisha. So that meaning is also hidden, condensed right in Brahma Sutra. So, and then said, Tejo Vari Mridam Yatha Vinimayo. So Vyasadeva also verifies the creation's non-illusory nature. So it directly refutes Vivatvada philosophy also by way of an analogy. So now he draws an analogy. Tejo Vari, Tejo means this, Teja means this fire, Tejas. We have a devotee here actually, I don't know if he's attending today or not. His very name, his spiritual master gave him that name also, you know. So this Teja is fire actually. Tejas Prabhu I'm talking about. Tejas and water, this water and earth, Buddha, you know. So this earth, fire and this water and fire, when they three combine, intermix with each other, and then produce material objects. So that is the analogy drawn here. So that's what the creation, material creation. So neither the world nor Brahma, neither the world nor Brahma can be the agent of superimposition, Brahman, you know. It's a spelling mistake, is there? Superimposition, as Mayavadis talked about this, avidya opponents of Maya, that superimposes on Brahman, and that's what the material world come into existence, what they're talking about. So it's not a reality, you know. But here it is not like, there's no superimposition, you know, or illusion, because the world is inert and Brahman is without ego or attributes. Brahman is like that, you know. So it cannot be Brahman either, Bhagavan. Now the fifth subtext of 105, now it goes further. Now he's going to explain how this very first opening verse also explains the second Brahma Sutra. And second Brahma Sutra is Janmadi Asyata. And that's exactly repeated right in this verse. Janmadi Yataka, you know. Or from whom this cosmos emanates, sustains and dissolves. So let us meditate upon that absolute Param. From whom? Yata, from whom means Yata that? This, Asya. as means this cosmic world appears, etc. And it arises from him, from the Lord, Lord's external potency, so existence that belongs to the Lord, from him, through his transrational potency. Transrational means this this Maya, we saw earlier also. Maya has this transrational potency, just as Lord himself is transrational potency, right? So, and because as we saw, the question Vidur Bhatma asked to Maitreya Muni, how is it possible that Krishna's Maya can control as being the inferior energy of the Lord, because the external potency, how she can control the superior energy, which we can be V are the superior energy, and also when super soul is still there, Maya cannot affect super soul, but in presence of super soul also reside in the heart, and still she can control the jivas. How is it possible? That looks very, very difficult or perplexing. So that's when Maitreya Muni explains, it's because Maya has this inconceivable potency, achintya, you know, that's not irrational, transrational, because it has, just like Lord, Maya also has this transrational potency. So that is what we are talking about, you know, with this form, and as the constituent, upadana, you know, and as the agent of creation. So that is Maya, Maya which, so Pradhana Maya herself does not create. Without super soul being there, without Lord himself being present there, nothing, the creation process cannot go further. That also we saw that. It's not the Pradhana that creates. We'll see a little bit more about that. So how, see how, that really fascinates me, you know, how, you know, Srila Jiva Goswami so meticulously, he dissects every verse and everything, you know, and makes this Srimad Bhagavatam key verses, makes us understand so deeply, which Srimad Bhagavatam, we try to study, it becomes impossible to understand that, you know, only through this Shat Sandarbha, six Sandarbhas, we try to understand, you know. So here this verse actually, we discussed this verse earlier also. Pratutir yasya upadanam adhara purusa paraha sato abhivyanjaka kalo brahma tatra trita ayam to aham. So this was spoken by Krishna to Uddhava. So material nature is the constituent cause, upadana, and also is the nimitta cause, you know, of this reality, the cosmos. So this is a cosmic world, this material cosmic world is a reality. And the Supreme Person, Purusha Para, Supreme Person, is its Aadhar, that is, substrate of Aadhar means the foundation. Without Lord being there, without Lord's foundation being there, nothing can happen, you know. And time, Lord's Kala potency, time potency is the one which activates the three modes of material nature. Because in Pradhana, they are in the equilibrium state. They need to be activated only through the Kala potency, you know, the time potency of the Lord. And the manifester, and that is Abhivyanjaka. But I am Brahman, Lord Krishna himself said, I am Brahman, I am Paramatman, I am Bhagavan, you know, which comprehends these three. Trita Ayam Tva Aham. That's what he says, that Krishna. So Uddhava says to Krishna, Brahma and Shiva are merely instruments in the act of creation. Remember, we saw that Brahma is the systemic creator, you know, and the dissolution is brought by Lord Shiva, but they themselves are unable to do their jobs unless empowered by Krishna himself. So even though they are guna avataras, but without this Lord Vishnu, it's not possible. Okay? Then, Janmadi Asiyataha, from whom this cosmic manifestation, emanation, sustenance, and dissolution came into being. So, that's the second verse already actually given right there directly. So, the cosmos is not part of the absolute form, but it is a manifestation of his energy, you know. So, remember, we just saw that it comes through him, through his external potency, but that means within him, but it is through this, that. So he is not directly in that part, but because of the external potency, this material world. So Srimad Bhagavatam is intended as an explanation of Brahma Sutra, which are based upon the statement of this Taittiriya Upanishad cited by Jiva Goswami. In fact, I remember Taittiriya Upanishad is when I took this lessons. I wanted to learn Sanskrit, you know, because I wanted to learn all these original Shastra, you know, Upanishads and so on like that, before I become a devotee actually. I was greatly fascinated by these Vedas and Upanishads and all those, you know. So it was so complicated, so I couldn't understand myself. So I wanted to study Sanskrit myself, so I sought out a Vedic scholar here, Sanskrit scholar locally here in Washington, you know, in Maryland State. And I found one. So I took 3 years, sat down with him, lessons I took every week. He taught me three. So he began my instruction through Upanishads, and the three Upanishads, one of that Upanishads, you know. He taught me 10 major Upanishads that way. And through that, because I told him that I don't want to learn Sanskrit as a language. My purpose of learning Sanskrit is to understand these Upanishads, you know. So that's why he was teaching me Sanskrit language, grammar and so on, through explanation of Upanishads, you know. Alright. So that brings us to this 105 subtext 6 and 7. So now Jiva Goswami goes further, having already explained how 1, 2, both first two verses of Brahma Sutra are already there within this Bhagavatam's first opening statement. Now it was the third and fourth Brahma Sutra. So third Brahma Sutra is this Shastra Yoni Tvat. So what it means actually, that Brahman is the source of creation, and so on is concluded from scripture. So everything is based on scripture, that is what it means. That's what Brahma Sutra is talking about, you know. Because scripture alone is this source of Vedic knowledge. Okay? Then the Brahma Sutra further elaborates on that statement in the fourth Brahma Sutra, Tat Tu Samanvayat, you know. But the truth that Brahman is knowable only through the Vedas is due to the facts. Why it is known through Vedas? Okay? So why? Because the Vedas are consistently reconciled in Him alone. The Vedas came directly from the lotus mouth of the Supreme Lord. So Vedas is not somebody created. It is there from, you cannot say that it created some point like that. It was without beginning, without end, you know, like that. It directly came from the Supreme Lord. So all Vedic statements are reconciled within Him. That's called with the meaning of Samanvayat. So how is that there within this first opening verse? Janmadhyasyata itrasya apajna swarat, you know. Tena brahmarde adi kave tejo vari, that whole entire verse. So the first four Brahma Sutras and that four Brahma Sutras are very, very important, just like Chatushtaka Bhagavatam, Chatushtaka Bhagavad Gita. So here the also same is the first four Brahma Sutra are called Chatushutri. Chatu means four sutras. The most important ones, providing the gist of the complete text. So entire Brahma Sutra, so many, many sutras are there. Everything is actually condensed right there in the first four sutras. Just like entire Srimad Bhagavatam is actually condensed in these four seed verses, you know. And same way Bhagavad Gita, just like Bhagavad Gita, you know. This chapter 10, text 8, 9, 10, 11, you know. So to prove the God's existence on the basis of logic alone is futile. So the third sutra concludes that only scriptures can reveal knowledge, a Vedic knowledge about Brahman, which is beyond sense perception. So the fourth sutra then actually answers why it is so. Because the Vedas are consistently reconciled, samanvayat, in Him alone. So you can see the So when we study scriptures, it means directly we are learning from the Supreme Lord Himself. You know. Okay, so the meaning of the third and fourth Brahma Sutra is expressed in this opening statement 111 with the phrase Anvayat Itratascha Artheshu. Anvayat Itras, that means directly or indirectly, both directly and indirectly, or affirmatively and not so affirmatively, negatively, you know. Artheshu is meaning actually, you know. So the absolute truth upon whom we meditate, Satyam Param Dui, that what we must meditate is actually concluded to be the fundamental source of the creation of the cosmic world. That's from the import Artheshu, from the meaning Artheshu. That's the Artheshu means meaning of all the various types of Vedic statements by the direct Anvayat Itarascha. So you can see exactly Brahma Sutra is explained right there, with that also included in this first opening statement. And so to refute the Brahma Purva Mimamsa proponents, Javini Rishi, who may object that the execution of prescribed duties in the Vedas are to attain heaven, the fourth Brahma Sutra states that if one studies the Vedas with an unbiased attitude, see that? Unbiased attitude means without any kind of material objectives. That is what it means actually, you know. Then he will come to the conclusion that both directly and indirectly, the Vedas culminate, so ultimate essence of that knowledge is this actually, only in Bhagavan. Moreover, if prescribed duties are performed without any fruitive desire, then one's heart becomes purified. So that's what the, so we should not have any material objective, with that we should not study. So karmakanda is definitely is discouraged here. That's why Krishna tells Arjuna also in Bhagavad Gita, you know. First, of course, he glorifies this thing, because Arjuna was in this material platform. Then after he becomes purified, after he explains to him and everything, when Arjuna realizes that, then he was ready, he was qualified enough to give the spiritual knowledge. So then the Uttara Mimamsa begins. So first is Purva Mimamsa, now. So same here. So now without any fruitive desire, when your heart is purified, and one then becomes, how do you get purified? By those who are not yet on devotional platform? By simply your prescribed duties that you have, according to your varna and ashrama. Brahman has a certain duties, Kshatriya has a certain duties. So they are designed in a particular way. So when you offer the results of that directly to the Supreme Lord, then you become purified. And then that qualifies one to come to this devotional platform, you know. That's the idea. Those who are not yet devotees. So then that's what Supreme goal is realized. There's the ultimate conclusion of the Veda is actually Bhagavan alone, you know. So you see that, again, the Brahma Sutra is also there. The third and fourth also is there. Okay, the eighth one, the eighth subtext. So now he goes further, the fifth Brahma Sutra. That is Ikshateyan Ashabdam. That is, comes, that itself is included in this Abhigna word. In this opening statement, how is as follows. So, in citing this particular Brahma Sutra, Ikshateyana Ashabdam, here Jiva Goswami refutes the atheistic Sankhya philosopher. Now, there is a Kapila Dev, of course, not the Kapila that we are talking about. There is Lord Himself who gives knowledge to His mother, Devahuti. Yeah. But there was a same name, Kapila, was also who was atheist actually, and his teaching was that everything is death material world, nothing else exists. So everything is because of the combination of material, the chemicals and so on like that, material world came into play. There was no involvement of any superior divine being there. That's what this atheist was preaching. So he's talking about here. notion that the world is created by the primordial material nature prakana. They do not admit Bhagavan as the divine creator. But the fifth Brahma Sutra refutes that by designating prakana as ashabdam, or that which is not validated by scriptural revelation. So scripture does not support that. The cosmic world is evolved through Bhagavan's conscious act of glance. Remember, when we discuss about how the creation takes place, Mahavishnu throws a glance from distance on the prathana, the primordial material nature, and the glance is actually composed of introducing or injecting or impregnating the womb of material nature with this living entity V, and along with this time potency, Paramatma himself enters. So there is his glance. So ikshata means glancing, So that is explained here. So the cosmic world is evolved through Bhagavan's conscious act of glancing. So Bhagavan actually desired for this creation, consciously desired, And seeing, that's what external, that's the meaning of that. So his glance is inclusive of the intention of the cosmic manifestation. So Pradhana, being inert, cannot be the seer, obviously. So Lord is omniscient. So omniscient means one who knows everything. That means abhigna. So that word abhigna is right there, because same meaning. So without complete knowledge about the creative art and the world to be manifested, he could not bring forth the cosmic world, obviously. So this 111 of Srimad Bhagavatam uses the word abhigna. Abhigna means omniscient, all-knowing, all-cognizant, to convey the meaning of this fifth Brahma Sutra. Ikshatena ashabdam. Okay, the ninth subtext now. So here, Bhagavan is the source of the Vedas. So Vedas, before it was shown, first, the third and fourth show, the Vedic scriptures gives that, is the authority of that. Now the Veda themselves, actually Veda itself came from, actually Veda is their personalities actually, not inner thing. They are, as we see in the 10th, in the final 12th canto, the Veda personified offers prayers actually, I'm sorry, in the 10th canto, 87th chapter and so on like that. So here, so Vedas themselves are actually, their specific personalities are involved, So he is the source, Bhagavan is the source, offers an alternate meaning of the sutras also. So this is to show that Brahman is not a composition of any conditional mortal being as conceived by the academic scholars. That's the problem with academic studies, And I'm going for this PhD studies, academic study, that's what it is, So, Brahma Sutra 113 states that Bhagavan revealed the Vedas to the first seer, that's Lord Brahma, by way of the heart, not by speaking words, I explained to you in the very beginning. So, he did not speak actual words, so it's not by spoken way, In that spoken means speech, ashabdam. Not by shabda, not by speech. What it means, not by material speech. Okay? But it was given in a transcendental spiritual way, It was revealed directly through the heart, the mind. Mind is also within the heart. And that's, so when you think mentally, that's you speaking also there. But mentally, Heart, through the heart directly. So Jiva Goswami points out its explanation in detail in 1111. By this, Tena Brahma Rida Adi Kavaye, Tena means through this Vedas, Rida through the heart, and Ya Adi Kavaye, that's the Lord Brahma, So right, that is also there, this incorrect meaning. So Bhagavan is self-endowed with complete knowledge of the Vedas. Of course, he is the originator of Vedas, about which even great learned sages are perplexed. See, this Vedic statement sometimes is so perplexing. Self
contradictory things are there if you don't understand properly, you know. So that sometimes even perplexes. That's why the problem, Mayavadis also quote Shastra, but their interpretation is completely in a wrong platform, as Jiva Goswami points out many times, you know. So that perplexes even these great scholars, Muhyiddin, Surya, even demigods and sages, you know. And that's why this Abhigna, the one who is fully cognizant of everything. So, to summarize all this, what we just talked about, I put it in a tabular form. Atharto Brahma Jigyasa, the first one, that is explained by this. Atharto means, once you Puru Mimamsa, the initial inquiry through Karma Kanda principle, then you graduate into this Uttar Mimamsa, you know, Brahma Sutra, when your heart is purified. And this Brahma Jigyasa means Satyam Param Dhimai. Dhimai is what Brahma Jigyasa, directly meditate on Bhagavan. So here indirect meaning is also given. Tejo Vari Mridam Yatha Vinimayo Yatra Trisarg Amrisha Dhamana Svena Sada Nirasta Kuhukam Satyam Param Dhimai. It's so beautifully composed, this verse, you know, it's so beautiful. Entire Bhagavatam is condensed right in this first verse. So that's the indirect meaning, everything is right there. And then second Brahma Sutra, Janmadhyas Siyata, that is given in this. Also, pretty much repeated as it is, Janmadi Asiyato in 111 Bhagavatam. The third and fourth was Shastra Yonitvat Tata Tu Samanvayat. That is given in this Anvayat Itaratascha Arteshu. Directly and indirectly, whatever is explained, is meaning Arteshu. It's in this verse, Bhagavatam 111. Ikshatevna Ashabdam. That is the fifth Brahma Sutra. There comes this Abhigna. Tena Brahmardaya Adikavaye Mohyanti Yat Suraya. Not sure, Suraya. Sura means these demigods, great demigods, or great personal, learned personalities. Okay, now about the, I've already done this Gayatri Mantra, is also, instead of talking word by word again because of the time, I put it in this tabular form actually. And that's what this author of the book also put it there actually. So I put the tabular form right from that book itself. So that also gives the meaning of the Gayatri Mantra. What is Gayatri Mantra? Children, we are not supposed to speak Gayatri Mantra in public, you know, for the discussion, and all of you are devoted actually. So here, Om Bhur Bhavah Swaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yona Prachodayat. So how these are words are actually see in this Bhagavatam 111, that Krishna Jiva Goswami is pointing out. So Om, that is this Janmadiyasya Yato, that is by that. Bhur Bhasvaha, there's a three kinds of world, three lokas, you know. Earthly planetary system, then intermediate Bhavaha, and then Bhuha. Swa means this heavenly planet. So these three worlds, Yatra Trisarga Amrusha, that you see clearly, of course. Trisarga, three kinds of creations. You know. Then Tat Savitur. Now, a lot of people who are not truly knowledgeable, they think that this Gayatri Mantra is the prayer offered to sun god, Savitra, you know. But that's not exactly what it is. Actually, it's offered to the Supreme Lord Bhagavan in Jai. And that is here, right? Swarat, supremely independent Supreme Lord, actually. Varenyam, that is Param, the Supreme. Bhargo Devasya, that is Dhamana Svena, you know, by directly himself, actually, when we meditate on him, then he is the one who removes the influence of the influence of the Mahamaya potency. Dhimai is exactly Dhimai here also, same. Jiva Yonah Prachodayat Sutena Brahmardaya Adikavaye Mohinatyat Surayas. There is comparison that, right? So you see Gayatri Mantra is also there. Okay, so now the 10 subject matters of Bhagavatam. And that is Sukadeva Goswami tells to Parishad Maharaj. So that is also there. in the Bhagavatam 111, how Sarga Visarga Sthana, there is primary creation, secondary creation, and the sustenance of the jivas, that are right there in Janmadiya Seyataha. And then this Nirodha, dissolution, so that is also there. Then Manmantra Ishanukatha Poshana, actually Manmantra Ishanukatha Poshana is right there in this Sthana, you know. And all this thing is right there, so that is there in the Janmadi Asyata, everything is there. Then Poshana, Bhagavan's mercy in nurturing his devotees, that is given by this Tene Brahma Radaya Adi Kavaye. Uti, that is the subconscious imprints and desires for fruitive activities and thanks. Because of the Uti, because of this latent material desires we have, that's why we have to come back in this material world, in this particular cycle. Material cycles are because of that. There is the cause, nimitta cause, we saw in the previous classes. This Uti, because of this great material desire that we have, is stored in our subtle body, and that's the one which carries out from when the soul transmigrates into different bodies, you know. And so that is what the Buhyanti and Suraya, that's given right here. Then Mukti or liberation, Dhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Kukam. Then the Lord Himself, when we meditate on Him, by Himself, Svena, then He removes, dispels the influence of His maya potency. And that's why we get to become liberated. Then ultimate ashraya, the tenth subject matter, the ultimate shelter is given by the Satyam Param. Okay. Then this verse, I'm going to read directly the translation. The time is running out. The one should constantly meditate on Sri Hari. This is what Vedas personified offers prayers to the Lord while awakening the Lord, you know. The one should constantly meditate on Sri Hari, who removes all fear. That's why the Lord's other name is Bhaya Hari. Who keeps Maya away by his all transcending nature. Who oversees this universe in its beginning, middle and end. Who is the regulator of both Prakriti and the Jiva. And who, having evolved the universe and then entered it along with the Jivas, Paramatma entering, generates their bodies and maintains them. Attaining Him, the Supreme Lord, the Jiva sheds ignorance. Just as when a man enters into deep sleep, he becomes unaware of his body. Okay, now the concluding verse. That must correlate with the first one. And that also explains the meaning of the first verse. You know. So here, the concluding verse 12, 13, 19, we already read the verse, Kasmai, even that verse, determines the meaning of the opening statement. How? Since the opening and closing statements are correlated, their meaning must be in harmony. That harmony means it must correlate positively. So here both recommend meditation on the Supreme. So remember, both verses end with Satyam Param Dhimahi. That is there. And Sruta Goswami also confirms the same. Therefore, it follows that the meaning of Satyam Param Dhimahi in 111 must be Bhagavan Himself. Because in the first one, is not that clear. It's quite clear here, you know. And no one else. And the conclusion is further validated by the Samadhi of Srila Vyasadeva that we saw. And then there is Sukadeva Goswami, who was established in Brahman relation from birth. But he was already left because he didn't want to get trapped again. So then Vyasadeva runs after him, and to attract him back, he had his disciples recite some of the verses, key verses, and when Sukadeva Goswami heard about it, he came back to his father and then decided to, and he actually committed his time and efforts to learn the entire Bhagavatam from his father, you know. So that itself tells you the potency of the Bhagavatam. So his heart captivated simply by hearing the narration of eight pastimes of Bhagavan Krishna. And now the verse 106, text 106, Bhagavan Himself is the shelter, is the teacher of Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, that's very important. is all about Bhagavan, and it is taught by him. That's also incredible. So how now Jiva Goswami gives the meaning of the closing statement, and this is his closing statement. Kasmai yena vibhasito, so how he reveals, I am this one, Atula, incomparable, Nana Pradipa Puraha, Tadrupena Chanaradasya Munaya Krishna Tadrupena. I already explained this in the very introduction. So Kasmai means unto Brahma, who was seated in the lotus sprouted from the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So in the very place when Brahma was still the very beginning, dawn of beginning, Shiva Bhagavata was revealed to him these four seed verses, Vibhasita. So, and that Vibhasita meaning it's revealed, signifies that Shiva Bhagavata was not yet composed even at that time by him. So pronoun I am, this refers to the process of this knowledge, fierceness knowledge of lamp of knowledge, Jnana Pradipa, in the form of Shrimad Bhagavatam. The word Pura in the distant past means that the beginning of the first half of Brahma's life, that is the very beginning of when he was just created. We discussed right at the beginning. So here this again, the Kampanta Rupena in the form means in the form of Brahma, it was first given. Then that Rupena, that is in the form of the Narada, that was given to him. And then that Atmana, that is in the form of Srila Vyasadeva. And then Bhagavat Rathaya, and then Yogendra, that was given to Sukadeva Goswami. And then Bhagavat Rathaya, that means to Parikshit Maharaj. So you can see, all this indicate that he revealed not only the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavan is himself the teacher through all these different ways actually, no? Revealing not only the Srimad Bhagavatam condensed into four seed verses, but by empowering to each subsequent speaker. So see that every speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, unless Lord empowers, you cannot speak Bhagavatam. It's not by our own smartness or our own learnedness, everything, nothing like that. When we speak Bhagavatam, Lord Himself speaks through our mouth, you know. Lord Himself reveals that. So Sutta Goswami, so Jiva Goswami says that. Sutta Goswami did not want to say, because of out of his modesty, that in the form of myself, I'm disclosing you to the sages of Navishan. So that was not mentioned because of that. So such a statement is to be understood to complete the sense, that's to be understood according to Jiva Goswami. So unlike Gayatri Mantra, which is to be chanted only by Advij alone, who has undergone the Upanayana Samskara, so unless you are purified by first chanting the holy name after some period, one is not qualified to speak. Of course now Lord is this particular Gayatri Parivar's organization, they openly recite his verses to everyone, you know, but actually that is forbidden in the Shastra. But Srimad Bhagavatam, which is also explanation of this Gayatri Mantra, is freely explained, freely spoken to everyone, you know. So we should really learn that through Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore Vyasadeva does not disclose the full Gayatri Mantra in its original form in this 1111, you know. Only the Satyam Param Dhima is there, but indirectly explicit with this very first verse, as I just described. Okay, now lesson 24 in the last few minutes, if you bear with me, please. So now the remaining criteria, it's very simple now. Criteria 2 through 6, repetition, novelty, result, glorification and logic. So Bhagavan is the subject repeated throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is this Abhyasa, repetition. Whenever you want to study, of course, always you want to read again and again, meditate again and again. So the Bhagavatam, Bhagavan is also repeated throughout. And novelty, Apurvata, respectively. So Supreme Personality Godhead, absolute in its original form, in nature Swayamvar, is repeatedly described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Therein, clear distinction between Sakshat Bhagavan and his incarnation has been made in numerous places. So Bhagavan and Bhagavan's incarnation, first 9 cantos talk about Bhagavan's different incarnations, right? And the 10th canto reveals Swayam Bhagavan, you know, Vrindavan Krishna, that is given in Bhagavatam. So this is not found in any other scriptures, such as the Vedas, Upanishads and any other Puranas. Jiva Goswami in citing the following verse also demonstrates the third criteria, apurvata, or novelty. And that is this particular verse. Kalimala samhitam kalano akhilesho harir itratatra na giyate hi abhikshanam ihatu punar bhagavan ashesh murti hi paripathito anupadam katha prasangaihi. Sri Hari, the supreme ruler of all, the destroyer of all impurities of Kali, just uttering the holy names, just reciting Srimad Bhagavat, it nullifies the influence of Kali Yuga. It's simply so, Kali cannot exist in front of Bhagavan. Is not celebrated continuously. Elsewhere in other scriptures, so other scriptures we don't see that, only in Srimad Bhagavatam. Whose unlimited form is thoroughly described, discussed in every word in the course of different narrations. That is what this verse talks about. Okay, text 108. So here Srimad Bhagavatam culminates in devotion to Bhagavan. So this is very important actually now. How simply hearing about Bhagavatam, how we develop love for Krishna, knowing the tremendous intense desire to know about Krishna comes directly by that. So Bhagavan, he is the teacher of Bhagavatam, remember. So Bhagavan himself gives us, reveals himself within us. He develops the desire to know him, also comes from him. Incredible, isn't it? Pibandiye Bhagavat Atmana Satam Kathamritam Swarna Puteshu Sambhutam Punantite Vishaya Vidushiya Tashayam Vijanti Tatsharana Sarur Antikam. Those who drink the ambrosia, so that's the nectar, the Kathamrita, nectar of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, all the sweet pastimes of the Lord in His devotees, with His devotees, Kathamrita, or Bhagavan, the very self of the devotees, Atmana Satam, filling up the cups of, those who are devotees of the Lord, when you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, that when you chant repeatedly, that creates, that makes Lord, creates the desire to know Him, you know. And that's what devotees always are never satisfied hearing again and again and again. Every time you hear, they test, you know. Oh yeah, yeah, that Sukadeva Goswami talked about that actually, you know. Filling up the cups of their ears, very poetically explained here. So these ears are like cups. You want to fill up the cup to the rim with this Katha Amrita and hear again and again and again and again. You drink that and you want to drink more and more and more, you know, through the ears. So you drink Katha Amrita through our ear, that means hearing, through our ears. Purify their hearts, they are polluted with sense objects. So all this, you know, these desires we may have, you know, that kind of desire is not suitable for us. Because those kind of material desires is the one which keeps us tightly anchored on the ground of material existence. So that gradually becomes purified by simply hearing what Srimad Bhagavatam. And we attend it. And then the first verse, second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam says, Tat Chanat. As soon as you develop a desire to know the Lord, and the desire comes through Him, He creates the desire within our heart. Then Tat Chanat, immediately Krishna sits in our heart. Not Paramatma, but now that Krishna Himself sits in our heart. So now this point, several verses are quoted here actually. Bhagavan takes his seat. Now you read very, very carefully. Please just hear that. It's incredible. That will build your intense desire. Jignasaya that we are talking about. If you hear that, you will create that. You will get that, that The Bhagavan takes his seat with the heart of a person who merely wishes to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Before even hearing, you simply have a desire, and immediately Tatshanath, Krishna is there. So to say nothing of the one who is actually currently hearing it. So you guys actually hearing it, you know. So this is 112. This, you remember why you now understood why I keep telling you regularly attend classes of Srimad Bhagavatam. You don't know really the great potency of Bhagavatam. Regular recitation of Bhagavatam leads to resolute bhakti. That's 1218. Then Srimad Bhagavatam is the embodiment of Krishna after his ascent to Golok Vrindavan Dham. That's 1343 actually, you know. When Krishna goes Swadhame Upagate, that verse. Then, you know, this dark, dense Kali Yuga, who is going to give us that knowledge, you know? So then Krishna says that actually that Bhagavatam is Krishna himself directly, that will reveal that to himself, that will tell us, you know. So the minds of those in whom faith has been awakened in the Srimad Bhagavatam becomes firmly fixed on Krishna. That's 2.1.10. Then Brahma instructs Narada to teach Srimad Bhagavatam with the intention that people may develop bhakti towards Bhagavan. 2.7.52. King Parikshit declares that Bhagavan becomes quickly established in the heart of a person who regularly hears, who recites his act of faith. 2.8.4. So I attend these classes regularly. Now we are going to get into bhakti sandarbha. You can't get anything better than that. Now we are going to hear bhakti sandarbha. Very, very deep, deep insights of bhakti process that we are going to hear beginning 2 weeks later actually. And the final point, a person will attain bhakti by hearing, studying and deliberating on Srimad Bhagavatam, meditating on Bhagavatam. 12.13.18. Next 109. Bhagavan is above all the demigods. So even the demigods are offering prayers here. Arthavada or glorification, they glorify. Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha Sunvanti Divyai Sivair Vedei Sangha Pada Krama Upanishadai Vedir Gayanti Yam Samaga Dhyana Vastita Tad Gatena Manasa Pashyati Yam Yogino Yashan Anantam Navidu Surasuraganaha Devaya Tasmai Namaha. So these are the prayers offered by the Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Obeisance on the supreme deity whom Brahma, Vishnu, Indra, Rudra, Maruta praise with the divine hymns and through the Vedas, whom the reciters of Samaveda sing of the through the Vedas, along with their subordinate branches of knowledge, their various methods of recitation, and the Upanishads, whom the yogis are see with the minds fixed on him in the stillness of meditation, and whose limits are unknown and either to the host of demigods or the demons. That's incredible. Okay, the final text, 1.1.10. Bhagavan is the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam logic, criteria, upapatti. So this is to a certain subject matter. So one may raise a doubt, because we keep hearing that spiritual subject is beyond material logic, right? We keep in here we are talking about logic. Why? So it was established that logic is not a valid knowing in reference to the absolute. So how can logic be one of the six criteria? The point here is this logic we are talking about here is not material logic. It's logic within the framework of Shastra. And Shastra is actually the Bhagavan himself. So within that framework, you derive through logic. That is what it means. Bhagavan Sarva Bhuteshu Lakshita. In fact, this verse, Canto 2, chapter 2:35, this is so much deep meaning. I spent a whole class on that. I gave one of the Sunday feast class right on this verse. Tremendous meaning is there. So, Bhagavan Shri Hari is indicated as immanent within all living beings through his own self-examination. By virtue of the fact that the intellect and so on are perceptible objects of subjective awareness, drashti, the existence of self-luminous siya drashta, corresponding indicates lakshani, pointing to such a self-luminous seer, and through inference, rupapagai. So basically it emphasizes right there actually, how Lord sitting in our heart gives unlimited flow of intelligence to know Him. First, the basic knowledge is to survive in the material world, of course He gives Paramatma. But as Krishna Himself, when He sits in our heart through our devotional service, then He gives the direction to come to Him, how to realize Him, how Lord real gives continuous unlimited flow of intelligence, you know, that's what He provides that, you know. Okay, so that concludes. So that concludes with that, with the Lord's great mercy and Lord's devotees, and I humbly surrender to all of you for giving me this opportunity to conclude this third Sandarbha. That's a milestone. Now we'll begin with the fifth Sandarbha. The fourth Krishna Sandarbha, when that book becomes available, then we'll start that. But for now, we'll just go with the Bhakti Sandarbha. Even that also, it's an old edition actually, in 2005 or 2006. Satyanarayana Prabhu is actually revising all the Sandarbhas that he wrote so many years back. So with that depth of knowledge that he's explaining, first three Sandarbhas which we saw, unfortunately we were not going to see that, you know. But whatever it is there, we are going to study that. So Hare Krishna. Let's see what are the questions, comments. Gopi Prabhu, Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you. It was an amazing class, Prabhu. Can you please repeat what is the relationship between Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam, the first four verses of Vedanta Sutra? Then I had to repeat the whole class again, Prabhuji, what you're asking. So, Jiva Goswami actually shows that, you know, the first four Brahma Sutras, Athato Brahma Jigyasa, you know, and onwards, they're all actually right there within the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. So that is what we went through that actually. But don't explain again, he's going to conduct a whole class. What is the relationship between Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam and the first four verses of Vedanta Sutra? Now here, what we saw, this first Brahma Sutra, they have given not Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam verses, but the very first opening statements. That is what was given there. So there's a difference there, you know. Not the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam verses. But even Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam verse is also condensed lines in the first verse. Everything is right there. Tulsi Charan Prabhu, whose name actually, given name is Tejas Prabhu. We are talking about Tejas, right? Thanks a lot, Prabhuji. Wonderful sinners. Thank you. Sharad Mishra. Sharad Prabhu, earlier we have learned that Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan are not different. Now we are told that absolute truth is Bhagavan and not Brahman or Paramatma. No Prabhuji, you didn't understand that. It's not that the three are non-different, it's also different. There are three, remember we learned a great deal about that in great depth. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, they are all three different manifestations of the absolute truth. But depending upon the person's realization, Brahman relation will only see one aspect of it. Paramatma relation can see only that aspect of it. The Bhagavan relation complete sees all different aspects, complete aspect fully. That is what it means. It is it's just like a person who is in high school versus college versus postgraduate, different levels, to what extent they understand that, you know. That is what is given there. But ultimately they all represent the absolute truth in that regard. But there is a partial realization versus complete realization. That is what we are talking about. So they are not different in that sense, and yet different in the sense, the degree of realization. Alright? Okay, are there any more questions, comments? If no, I really want to express my deepest sense of gratitude to all of you. If you are not there, I would not have gotten this opportunity to study the Bhagavatam and then six sandarbhas, you know. And when you teach something, then you learn much more deeper in that. So you, ultimately, you are the one. I must be very, very grateful to all of you, you know. Sajjee Prabhu has a question here. What is it? Yes, Sajjee Prabhu, what is your question, Prabhuji? Extending on what Sajjee Prabhu just said, so when we say reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavan takes seat in the heart. Yes, absolutely. You know, whenever we, just as the verse itself says, that second verse, as soon as we develop a desire, let alone actually doing it, even simply expressing the desire to hear Bhagavatam, that shanat, at that very moment, Bhagavan takes seat in our heart, you know. What more can we ask? And it is Bhagavan himself is a realtor, you know. He is the absolute teacher, you know. And all Narad Muni, Vyasadev, Sukadev Goswami, Suta Goswami, and all this downward, in actually in this disciplinary succession, they are all actually ultimately representation of the Lord Himself, you know. When we speak, Lord Himself speaks directly, actually. We are just the medium, you know. That's what this verse is talking about. Does that mean our relation jumps to Bhagavan? Yes. When we study Bhagavatam, we get complete realization, Bhagavan realization, you know, not necessarily step by step, Brahman realization, Paramatma, but we must understand that. That's what Jiva Goswami went at great length to explain to us. Now he did not create Brahman Sandarbha, because Brahman is already there. And because Brahman is without effort, so it's already there, yeah, as we saw that. Then he talks about Paramatma Sandarbha, and then ultimately he comes into the Krishna Sandarbha. So first he describes the absolute truth, how it is in three forms, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. And then he talks about Bhagavan realization, then Bhagavan further talks about in Krishna, that Bhagavan is Swayam Krishna Bhagavan, you know, Swayam Bhagavan himself. And then, now we are talking about Bhakti Sandarbha, actually, you know. So, it means, Prabhupada always liked that instead of walking up the stairs, you directly take an elevator or lift going all the way up, you know. So, Bhagavatam study directly Bhagavan himself. But we should also know at the same time Bhagavan's different levels of realization, Brahman and Paramatma. Lalita Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Lalita Mataji, looking forward to learn Bhakti Sandarbha. Thank you, Mataji. Bhakran Prabhu, permission to speak for 2 minutes, please. Go ahead, Prabhuji, go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I guess I can be heard.
I can hear you, Prabhuji.
Yeah, okay. At this point of time, I really want to, thank you and like your obeisances, because this was one of your dream projects. And as we see through, we are halfway. And now it's an insight. It's like a recipe to how to read Bhagavatam, how to taste the nectar, and how to really, you know, progress in the path of Bhakti. So this is something, a great achievement. To you and through you for us, because the fact is, otherwise we wouldn't have seen this all the way. So it's a compliment as well as a small token of appreciation in way that this you wanted to do by yourself. I mean, you have another project, but this you wanted to do by yourself, and we got into it, and we both really got benefited in one way. So that's a satisfaction by way of seeing it. And now halfway through, definitely I can see there is further more and much more to learn. And we definitely look forward to you. This is one of the greatest achievements to you and for us. Thank you, Prabhuji. We are indebted.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Yeah, I could have spoken better than that. Prabhuji, it's, you know, we are just halfway only. Three sandarbhas. Three more sandarbhas are there. And as you can see, the sandarbhas are degree of depth is greater and greater. Already these three sandarbhas, that is so much realization I got. And I wanted to study, as you said, I just wanted myself to study. And I was studying, but with such great depth, only I could, it's possible only by conducting the classes of that. And that's why I'm grateful to all of you, actually, you know. So we both got benefited because of that. Just imagine, just three sandarbhas that gave me a realization to write that book, okay? And now I develop desire to get a PhD in religion because of that, actually, because I want to scientifically prove my hypothesis. Not only that, I also got an idea to write my second book. The first book is not even taken a shape yet, and I already got a second book I'm writing. I'm thinking about it in my mind, about how to understand the mind, actually, you know. This, the gross body and subtle body. Gross body, that's where the three-way communication is there, triangular communication through this the selective gene expression that I was talking about. Remember, now I'm asking the question, how is subtle mind we have to understand? How do we really realize that? Is there some that information? Because we know the subtle mind, all the conception of not only this life, but the millions and millions of previous life are carried on to further. So somehow that information is stored. So that also must be in the DNA or what? That is what my mind is actually thinking about that, actually. And how that DNA information is carried on from one body to another body. So what is that my mind is actually, begin analyzing all these things. Just going through three sandarbhas. Now just imagine what the other three sandarbhas will get through that depth of the knowledge, depth of realization. So that is what I'm talking about. Incredible, so incredible, incredible amount of depth is there. And that's why more and more, as you study the sandarbhas, you begin to see what kind of personality Jiva Goswami must have been there. At that time, there were no computers, nothing like that. He was living under the tree, not even a home, actually. And where did he get all this? Because of this direct realization, direct revelation within him by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually, you know. So that is what the Lord does, that this computer and all this thing is just nothing compared to that. Absolutely nothing. Lord himself sits in our heart. And he reveals that, as we saw in one of the verses, Tena Brahma Radaya Adi Kavaye. So he does not speak in this material speech, but directly reveals himself in the mind, in the heart. So I hope further revelation will take place, and I hope the second book also might begin to take a shape upon that, you know. I'm really wondering what is the subtle body is about. How is that information is stored, you know. That is really, my mind is inquisitive about that, you know. So now we are going to get into this Bhakti Sandarbha. I'm so absolutely, really, really excited about that, you know. So please, I beg you, all of you, to continue attending. You know, when you get this taste of this nectar, you want to read more and want to get drink more and more and more and more. You never get satisfied, you know. I can't speak any better than that. Thank you, Prabhuji. You actually, could have just said better than you, you know. Thank you.